and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire, and thank you once again for joining me. Oh my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee. And I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, do not love thee. It's taken from the beautiful prayer that the Angel of Peace, the Angel of Portugal, taught the three young seers, Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta, at Fatima in 1916, 1 year before the apparitions of Our Lady. So beautiful prayer. I often go to adoration at Mount St. Mary's in Henderson Valley, and or Tittering actually, and I can meditate on that prayer for hours. I just use it like a mantra, and it's absolutely beautiful. Now we're going to move away just today. I thought we probably needed to from Dr. Brian Cole's talk about the family being under attack. We will certainly go back to that talk, the second half, and maybe some more of his talks at a later date. But I think I have to reiterate what this program is about. So it's anything to do with Our Lady's apparitions. It is divine mercy and explaining to anyone, Catholic and non-Catholic, that God is indeed merciful, but he is also just. And, of course, it is a pro-life program. And I would like to concentrate on the pro-life part of that program today. Now, you know that our government passed last year a law that can allow a baby to be aborted right up until 40 weeks. Now, up until 20 weeks, the mother only has to go to the abortion centre and she doesn't have to see anyone else. From 20 to 40 weeks, if it is because of her mental health or there is some issue with her well-being, she can actually have an abortion up until 40 weeks. So when I explain that to people, no, we didn't. That can't be possible. The government didn't do that. No way. But of course, when they look it up, they realise, well, actually, it is true. And so today I am going to concentrate on the vaccines, the COVID vaccines that are around the world at the moment, and particularly the mRNA vaccines, the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines, which have used fetal cell lines in their production. And we should be very concerned about this. Now, I know Pope Francis has said that these vaccines are acceptable to Catholics. However, there are other views in the church. For example, Bishop Athanasius Snyder, who has clearly said, amongst others, that this is not acceptable for a Catholic. And so I would just like to draw your attention today to an incredible interview, and I seriously recommend that you go and find the interview for yourself and watch it. It is very, very enlightening. It's 1 hour long, and it was recorded, I believe, on the 12th of January this year. And it is an interview, LifeSite News, so you can Google LifeSite News, John Henry Weston and Pamela Acker. And it is very, very enlightening. I'm just going to touch on some of the points today, but I really recommend that you go and look it out yourself. My daughter has said, in fact, John Henry Weston said it's probably the best interview he has ever done in his how many years as an interviewer and producer, etc., etc. And my daughter has said she has watched this interview, it's an hour long, 5 times. And because we are Catholics, it's an interview from a Catholic perspective biologist, and she's written a book just recently, it's just come out, about this whole vaccination issue. And you can get it at the Kolbe Centre. So the Cold Base Centre, Hugh Owen, was one of the founders, and it's in Virginia. So they have a lot of books that they produce themselves. And Hugh Owen actually approached Pam and asked her if she would write this book. And it just so happened that she injured her leg and it wasn't healing. So she spent many, many hours on the couch and doing a lot of research, and she was able to do this book. So she's one of the most knowledgeable people in the world with regards to vaccines, and she actually spent time in a vaccine research lab. She spent 9 months there, actually, before she encountered an ethical and moral issue with the HEK293 cell line. Now, HEK stands for Human Embryonic Kidney, and 293 is the number of experiments the researcher did to develop these cell lines. So let's get back to some of the points. So she was a biologist, and she's an author, as I said, of the recent book Vaccination, A Catholic Perspective, and you can buy it from the Cold Base Centre, as I said. Now, Pamela explained that when she was in high school, she became interested in biology because that was around the 1990s. There was a thought that plants could be used to deliver vaccines. Now, I remember at the time they were talking about bananas, and people could eat a vaccine. Now, of course, eat it instead of being stuck in the arm or somewhere with it. And certainly it would be much easier to distribute in places like Africa or high temperature countries because of the perishable components. And of course, instead of using aborted baby parts. So as I explained, this was in the late 90s. But you can't do it. It can't be done. So Pamela got her master's degree, and she was on a project for HIV, and it was the Gates Foundation, and it was in its first stage, and there was a lab meeting, and there was a for the board and all the colleagues, and they were talking about HEK293 cells, and Pamela didn't know what this was, and when it was explained to her that they were human embryonic cells, she had an ethical crisis there. And when she voiced that crisis, well, basically, that was the end of her job at that lab. So that was the end of her career. And she did not go on to do her PhD. In 2019, she had her accident, sprained her ankle, didn't heal. And that was when she was able to spend all of this time researching. And then Hugh Owen asked her to write a book. So that's why she has this book out exactly when it is necessary. It's incredible, really. Now, if we look at the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines, which I know that the Pfizer one, the FDA has actually not approved it. It is only allowed to be for experimental use. And the phase 3 vaccine trials of the Pfizer do not actually end until 2023. So by taking this vaccine, you are unwittingly agreeing to be part of a vaccine trial. So I'm just going to read some of the notes, which I quickly took down as I was listening. Now, bear with me. I'm not a scientist. I hope I don't put any people wrong. Now, the Moderna and the Pfizer mRNA are quite similar, or very similar, on a molecular level. And some people will say that they've never touched fetal cells. Well, that argument is really not the whole story. And the original research papers document that this HEK cell line was produced in two ways. Now, the first one, the messenger RNA nucleic acid, so a copy is made of your DNA, and that is sent out to proteins, and these are produced using that messenger copy. Now, it is thought that if your body produces them you can get a longer spike protein to mount an immune response that would last longer. Now, by itself, the spike protein is actually what they call floppy. So it doesn't keep its shape very well. So the scientists genetically modified a spike protein that had many mutations to keep its shape stabilized. Now, that design took the genetic information and transferred the cells to produce spike proteins. And they purified it and they looked at it and how this was all done. So to cut a long story short, before they injected the mRNA into humans to see if the human cells would make coronavirus spike proteins, they wanted to test it in the lab first because it was less dangerous and less expensive than doing this into human beings. So they tested this on the HEK fetal cells. Now, both of these vaccines used the HEK cells in testing, and they have to go through quality control. So every time they make another batch, they have to do another test for viability and quality control. Now, the test of the HEK aborted fetal cells may be ongoing, making these vaccines at this very moment. For example, when you scale up the number of vaccines, you are going to most likely have to scale up the testing as well. There are lots of labs around the world that use these HEK293 cells as well. Now, there is the argument that, okay, it was one aborted baby way back in the 70s and that is acceptable. But in fact, there are a number of fetal cell lines in existence, and many, many ones, in fact, and Pamela lists a lot of them, and they're used for a variety of therapeutics, for example, for cystic fibrosis, etc., etc. Now, this violates the principle of integral good, that you can't use the ends to justify the mean. As I said earlier, the HEK stands for human embryonic kidney, and 293 stands for the number of experiments this researcher did to develop the cell lines. So for 293 experiments, he would have used more than one abortion, probably hundreds. And this was done in collaboration with other hospitals. And, for example, in Sweden, they use W138, and they were routinely aborting babies and trying to develop fetal cell lines. So why fetal cell lines? When you try to grow cells in culture in a laboratory and go through the process, it's called of immortalization. Now, it sounds like the cells can live forever. Well, they can't, but these cells can live a lot longer than if you just took some cell lines out of an adult. And so it's called primary cell culture. They have been mutated with genes that can actually produce cancer. So these immortalized cell lines are often given cancer-promoting genes that can do the function of the cancer-suppressant genes. Now, I'm going to end it there for today. That's an awful lot of information to take in, and I have taken notes and directly from the interview. I'm sure John Henry would not be annoyed at me for doing this. He would be. I have met him many times. I have interviewed him on my program. I would consider him a friend. He's been to New Zealand lots of times. And he would be only too happy to get this information out and to promote what Pamela Acker has to say, and certainly promoting her book, Vaccinations from a Catholic Perspective. So go to the Colbay Centre. It's a centre in Virginia. Hugh Owen was one of the founders. And again, I have talked, been a guest speaker at a conference with just Hugh and I, talking about the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima. So I consider Hugh a very good friend, and we're in constant email, you know, back and forth. So these are all very, very good people, and I can vouch for them personally. We have just gone past 3 o'clock, and that's Divine Mercy Hour. And this is a little condensed version of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which our Lord gave to Saint Faustina. And it is all about God's mercy. And our Lord promises to stand between the dying person and the just judge, our Heavenly Father, as a merciful Saviour. And so it's a great prayer. And even if you're not dying, if you're just drowning in whatever problems of the day or what sins you have committed, just cry out to our Lord and our Father in heaven, and this prayer is absolutely wonderful. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Mortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you are pregnant and worried, there's a fantastic organization in Auckland, Family Life International, and they have their own pregnancy center, Gianna's Choice Pregnancy Center. If you'd like to text them, it's 0274 488 070, 0274 488 070, or you can ring them, of course, and there will be someone on the end of the line who is only too happy to listen to your story and to help you to develop a plan that will benefit you and your baby. Now, I didn't actually mention right from the beginning the title of the interview that John Henry Weston did with Pamela Acker was called Unborn Babies Are Used for Vaccine Development. They were alive at the time of tissue extraction. Now that's a really horrible thought. And as I said, for that HEK 293 cell line, there were probably hundreds of abortions to get those cell lines. So as a Catholic, is it morally acceptable that these babies' lives were sacrificed in order to save other lives? I personally don't think so, and I for one will not be taking the vaccine. And I would encourage other Catholics to think very, very carefully. Go to the LifeSite News website or just Google LifeSite News Pamela Acker interview, and you will see for yourself. It's the most extraordinary interview, and it is just worth listening to it and sharing it with all your family and friends. I do not want to have anything to do with abortion, and by taking the vaccine, I believe I would be actually complicit in abortion, and there is no way that I could ever do that. So, as I said, listen to the interview, or better still, get her book, Vaccinations, A Catholic Perspective. We really do need to be informed, and there will be no excuse when we are judged on that final day. You knew that babies were being ripped apart in their mother's wombs, and what did you do about it? So not only are we obliged to speak up, we're obliged to act, and I believe we're especially obliged to speak up about anything like this, which is a very grey area. Now, as I said, I know Pope Francis has said that it is acceptable in certain cases, I guess, but I have heard that the workers at the Vatican are being asked to take the vaccine, and I don't know if there'll be repercussions if they don't, but I imagine there might be. So we really do need to speak out. These unborn babies are relying on us. They not have a voice. Well, the time has gone again. I don't know where it goes. I really could do with an hour program. So if you want to tune in a little bit more and hear some more about this important topic, tune in, and I think we need to keep the debate going a little bit longer. Okay, until then, I'll sign up.